Make yourself a oneness with the loving earth. It's time for the Green Desk with Lily Peacock on 95BFM.
This week on the Green Desk, we have Connor Mercer and the effect that the ocean warming can have on shallow reef systems as fish from warmer climates begin to explore further towards the poles. Connor spoke with Mark Costello from the University of Auckland about a recent report coming from data collected by the Reef Life Survey. We started by asking him to expand on the findings of the data.
Yes, this is one of several papers they've had coming out, but in this one they looked at the abundance of fish using standard surveys on reefs around the world. So they set up a citizen science organization, basically a private society, which organizes everything. They have a standard methodology where divers lay out a line down along the seashore at between 3 to 15 meters. And then they count the numbers of fish at intervals down the line, and they count large mobile things like starfish and sea urchins, sea cucumbers, crabs, crayfish along the transect as well. So they have this comparison between the fish and the bottom living invertebrate. And the new thing here was that when we looked at the overall data running from the most northern to southern parts of the globe, we see a decrease in fish in the colder waters because fish being cold-blooded are more active and hungry in warmer waters. And in those warmer waters, they tend to dominate the whole environment. So they're the top predators, they're the mid-level predators, and they're probably some of the dominant plant-eating animals as well. So it means the invertebrates don't get a chance. So then when you look in the Antarctic and colder regions of the world, you suddenly see this huge diversity of different types of crustaceans and crabs and starfish. All just sitting there waiting for food, and they're not being attacked by fish because the fish aren't so hungry or as abundant. So this is the first time we've actually seen a kind of a gradient in ecological change, which is linked with temperature, because temperature is what drives the fish appetite and activity and dominance of the ecosystem.
These fish that are venturing further because the water is getting warmer and they're able to get more energy and get out there, are they leaving purely because the water is warming, or are they being forced out of their environments?
Very good question. We suspect it's a bit of both. So actually, on average, more species will expand their geographic range due to climate warming because they're moving into the waters that were previously too cold for them. Or they're just increasing their abundance in those waters that are too cold. You know, if the water's too cold, they'll grow slowly and they'll reproduce slowly, so they'd be lower abundance. But in some separate research we've done, we see a decrease in numbers of species around the equator. So we think this is due to the equator just getting that bit too hot, and it's stressing the fish and other species. So you might have seen the media stories about coral bleaching, which is another sign of stress. So the corals are getting too hot. If it's too hot for too many days, they basically end up dying. Yeah, so it's a bit of both.
I wanted to ask, as we see water temperatures rise globally, how is this likely to affect New Zealand, even at the day-to-day level? Is this likely to affect people's experience over summer, out fishing and enjoying the beach? Is it going to change the way we experience our water life?
Yes, it will. And once you get down to local scales, it gets a little harder to predict. So the studies we've been looking at have been looking at global scale data, which you can see some good general patterns. But at a local scale, things are very different. So, for example, the northeast of New Zealand, the temperature here has hardly changed with climate warming so far. And it's predicted not to change as much as the south of New Zealand. So those guys down in Dunedin and places are likely to see more dramatic changes in their ecosystems than we may see in the Hauraki Gulf. So that's one of the interesting things about climate warming, is that it's not evenly distributed around the world. So at a global level, the Northern Hemisphere is really where a lot of the warming is occurring, in the North Atlantic and North Pacific Oceans, more so than in the Southern Ocean. Perhaps because the Southern Ocean is such a large body of water, it takes longer to warm up.
There's another thing about this project, is that the sheer size of it means that we're able to compare and contrast data from all around the world now. I understand that there's a data collection with over 4,000 species with information from over 50 countries.
Yeah.
That's a huge task. How does this get done? Who's funding this and who's organising it?
Well, it's the brainchild of Graham Edgar and Rick Stewart-Smith and the University of Tasmania. So they really led it and got some funding in Australia. And they've been organising this now for over 10 years, so it's been quite amazing, really. And I guess one of the innovations they had was they didn't try to do this like a standard scientific project where you get funding and do the project and then it ends, or you try to get more funding. They've made this much more sustainable by involving a global community of interested scuba divers from all walks of life. And they set up a kind of a standard methodology where people can go to the website, join in, and then see when they're available to take part in surveys.
So the kind of people that are out there helping and helping organising these surveys, they're not necessarily trained scientists, they're just citizens that are interested in marine life.
Yeah, now actually most of them, when they actually look at it, have had some scientific background. Either they went to university or they're...
So they've picked up an interest in it from somewhere.
Yeah, they picked up an interest somewhere, either from scuba diving, because a lot of the scuba diving clubs and courses often teach people a bit about marine biology, or they're just interested in fish and fishing, and so they have that interest already. They also have sailboat owners and other people involved in the marine industry, tourism operators. You know, a lot of people are now employed to take people scuba diving, so that it becomes more interesting if they can explain more about the environment. And then they like to get a little bit more skilled about and contribute to these scientific surveys.
When this project started, was there a specific goal in mind, a question that they were looking to answer, such as what we've been talking about today and the spread of invertebrates compared to fish around the world? Or is this something that has just been picked up in the data as it's gone along?
Yes and no again. So we didn't expect to find this result. They found some of the other results they did expect to find. And one of the gaps in a lot of global science is finding standard methods so you can compare results between different areas. And they built on other standard methods used in the tropics, especially for scuba diving surveys. But they realized that these were, you know, they weren't sustainable because they were kind of project to project and they were too localized. So they tried to develop something that would show the global picture. But of course, this also shows the local picture. So there's been studies and separate papers on their findings in northeastern New Zealand, in parts of Australia. So it's kind of a win-win because you get the local story, plus you get regional and global stories, all from the same methodology by standardizing it and a bit like franchising it, I guess.
You've been listening to The Green Desk with Lily Peacock on 95 BFM.
That was Connor Mercer speaking to Mark Costello from the University of Auckland about a recent report on